This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod.
Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs for Wells Tech, episode 545 we're up to, and we're recording it on April 19th, 2018. Show about technology and ministry, and we do it each and every week, and we've been doing it for a number of years now, just more than a few, and alongside each and every episode for all those years, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am awesome, Martin, and I'm going to start off tonight's Wells Tech by wishing you a very happy birthday. We're recording on your birthday.
We are. I don't know if we've done that before, or either one of us. Maybe we have, and we just didn't realize that or didn't share that fact. But yeah, it is my birthday. I'm spending it alone. Well, not totally alone. Spending with about 1,500 other people. I'm at a technology conference in Salt Lake City, Utah. And weather-wise, it's been beautiful out here by comparison to the poor Midwest. I talk to my wife each and every night, and she's out there shoveling away. I rarely have snow on, I can hardly count. Probably not less than one hand the times it snowed on my birthday. I had snow even on the ground. But it's more than just a little bit, I understand.
Hey, I think we should be very positive on this podcast. And
you've turned the corner on this one.
A thing of the past. We are looking at 60 degree temperatures in the forecast. And so we're past the 18 inches of snow that we got this past week.
Very good. And I heard you have a new addition to your family.
A new addition, a new car. Just to celebrate your birthday, we decided to go out and buy a new-to-us car. So we are now proud owners of
it. It's a great idea for everybody for my birthday. Go out and buy yourself a new car.
Celebrate big. That's right. We have a Hyundai Veloster, I think is how you pronounce it. So, yeah. Be a good car.
Very good.
Tow behind a motorhome. So
congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Fun night.
Well, we're going to do a show. We figured, even though we're a little bit later in the week, this was the where our schedules mapped up, and I'm glad we're able to do that. And I'm on hotel Wi-Fi, so hopefully that holds out for us as well. But we're going to continue our series, nonetheless, on awesome apps. So we've taken a look at these smart devices that we've had and determined that we could dedicate a show each week of this month to a different category of awesome apps. And we've had fun doing that. And we're all the way up to probably one of the key categories that you might associate with a smartphone, per se, and that's good old-fashioned communications. You can reach out and communicate with other people through these smart devices that we have, and there's plenty of apps that'll help us do that. Before we jump into kind of our best of that maybe we live and breathe with for our communication needs, we had a chance to talk with somebody who's kind of pushing the edges of technology and using it for very good purpose. We talked with Dan Stelius from First Layer Health. Dan has a lot of Wells connections, and he was good enough to sit down with us and talk a little bit about an exciting app they've recently launched that helps, really anybody communicate with the senior set, but there's a ministry application here too. So before we jump into more communication chatter, let's listen to our interview with Dan Stelius. We're very happy to have joining us today on Wells Tech, Dan Stelius, Product Development Lead at First Layer Health and also former Wells Tech Conference presenter. Welcome, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
Really great to have you. We met you back at Wells Tech Conference, and a lot of things have changed for all of us, and I think one of the real positive things is you've been involved in some
kind of, I don't know if I'd call it, maybe you'd call them innovative. I'd call them innovative, innovative products that are coming out of your company, First Layer Health, that we'd like to talk to you a little bit about, because I think some of our audience might be very interested in some of the things that you guys are doing, if not to use themselves, just as maybe inspiration for something else. Before we do that, maybe you could do a quick intro of yourself, current position, what you're working at, interest, church, that kind of stuff.
Sure. So back when I presented at Wells Tech in 2015, I was a student at the University of Minnesota Morris in computer science. Since then, I graduated in December 2016. Moved to the Twin Cities, and now I'm working as the product development guy for First Layer Health. So I'm responsible for turning our ideas into software, pretty much. So it's been quite a change, and really enjoy it here in the Twin Cities. I go to Holy Trinity and New Hope, so that's been great.
Mm-hmm. And newly married.
Yes,
I happen to have insight. You know, it was the wedding season last year. Martin's daughter got married. I had two sons get married, and we actually contributed to your wedding with some beautiful lights that became part of your wedding decorations.
Oh, right. I did not know that.
Your mom and her creativity took them and used them. So
groom is on a need-to-know basis normally.
Yeah.
But congratulations.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about First Layer Health. What is First Layer Health? Why do they exist, and what are their specialties?
So primarily what we're trying to do is make social and healthcare communication easier for older people. We kind of feel like as a whole, it's harder for older people to get into, you know, using technology to communicate just because the way a lot of things are designed doesn't really lend themselves to that. You know, it's hard for older people to use phones that are, you know, have lots of tiny text, not designed for older hands, things like that. So one of our big initiatives is trying to use the TV set as a means of reaching older people, just because the TV set is something that older people are quite comfortable with. In the United States, on average, actually, people over 65 spend over 6 hours a day in front of the TV on average, which is pretty striking. So that's kind of where we're at right now, trying to bridge this communication gap between generations by using devices that people are comfortable with.
Excellent. And in that regard, you recently launched something called Their Care. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the background of Their Care. Is it, you know, what kind of platforms it's on and things like that, how it works?
Sure. So Their Care is an app for Android TV and the Amazon Fire Stick and Amazon Fire TV boxes. Basically, it's a way to send messages and do video calling right on the TV. So if you send a message, you can send it from your phone or your laptop, and it'll pop up as an overlay on the screen of the TV. And then all the recipient has to do is use their directional arrow keys to scroll through the message. And you can attach photos, you can attach videos. We're working on actually speaking replies into a remote and having those delivered back. And we've got some other stuff in the pipeline too. And then also with the video calling, you can connect a USB webcam to an Android-based smart TV, an Android set-top box, one of these Amazon Fire devices, and you can do like a Hangout-style video call between a laptop or phone and the TV.
Pretty slick.
So the process, walk us a little bit through the process then for getting both ends connected. So the you know, grandma, let's say, has to install the app on their device, their Fire Stick or Android TV, right? And then whoever's communicating with them needs an app on whatever device that the platform is available on.
Right. So generally what we've seen is that the caregiver will come over sometime and install it. You know, it's a little bit of an ask to say, right. Oh yeah, I just go to the Play Store.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, right. So what we do for the app is we just, like, you install it on the TV, you get an 8-digit code that you plug into the TheraCare app on the web or on mobile. And then that pairs the TV. It's a one-time thing and you're good to go.
Okay. Wow. What's been the reaction or feedback you've gotten so far? How long has it been out and what kind of feedback have you received?
We've been doing pilot testing for several months now. We just recently started promoting it out to a larger audience. And the feedback we got in pilot testing was really interesting. It really alters your perspective of how people interact with things when you watch an older person trying to, you know, learn how this works. And so that informed a lot of our design for this. Like, we intentionally boiled it down to just the arrow keys and the OK button based on feedback we've seen. You know, it's too much to ask to do a bunch of different buttons. And we'd also changed, like, some of the menu structures we changed. Like, it's really hard to for older people to think about burrowing down into menus, for instance, you know, like keeping the context for everything that you've drilled down into. So we try to make it as linear as possible rather than, you know, telescoping out. Mm-hmm. So people seem to like it, and we've been able to learn a lot about just user interface design in general from watching people use it, which has been a lot of fun.
And how have they been using it? What are the use cases? What are you typically seeing?
We see video calls picking up a lot more than messaging, just because it's, you know, it's a novel thing, and it's nice to be able to do that. So we see a lot of people using video calls, you know, pretty regularly for 20 minutes, half an hour, every few days.
Pretty cool. Do you see this kind of thing, maybe not their care specifically, but branch off kind of ideas being used in ministry settings at all, Dan? You know, elder care ministries and congregations, or
yeah, absolutely. That was actually one of the use cases that we were considering when we designed it for when we were designing for it. Like, kind of like right now, we're kind of marketing it to families, you know, family caregivers with an older person who spends a lot of time in front of the TV. But we would also like to see, you know, spiritual caregivers, whether that be a pastor or an elder or whatever, use this to augment their existing shut-in visits with, like, you know, virtual visits. We're working on building like a spiritual content library that's a collection of photos and videos that you can send along with your messages from groups like Time of Grace, or we have a few other sets of devotional content. And we'd also like to see professional caregivers start using this as well, you know, where a doctor or a nurse could check in without having to either drive over or use some other complicated means of communication.
Sure. My mom is going to be watching this. I can just tell you, she'll be like cheering from her seat, because just getting to the doctor, which is probably a mile and a half from where she lives in assisted living, is a real challenge. If, you know, she has to coordinate for somebody to get her there and make sure it works with their schedule and things. So having that kind of capability.
Right. And we've also been testing this in like rural North Dakota, where mm-hmm. that kind of thing is also a challenge. You know, you have one critical access hospital that serves patients within, you know, a radius of several hours.
Sure, sure. Makes
sense. Do you have regulations that you know, regulatory bodies and legal things that you need to be concerned with when you're getting into that kind of space?
Yes. If we were to start using this with professional caregivers, we, you know, in a hospital setting, we would be subject to HIPAA and all of the associated regulations. So we've built the platform with that in mind.
Okay. Interesting. Notice on your website, there's something coming called Their Care Plus. Tell us a little bit about that.
That kind of gets into the medical side. We're envisioning that as taking this existing communication platform and augmenting it with health-related things like medication reminders, appointment reminders, even taking measurements. You know, you could ask for a weight or a blood pressure or something daily and have a log of that.
Excellent. And what about the future beyond the medical side? Do you have visions for other products or extending this further?
Both. So one place we'd like to see this extended is into more devices. Like, these smart TVs are able to do Bluetooth. They're already on the home Wi-Fi network. So we see a lot of potential in connecting these different devices. Like, just going down the medical road again, you could have a Bluetooth scale connected to the TV, and standing on that scale, you could collect a weight measurement that was automatically transmitted and logged. So that's kind of the road we'd like to go down in the medium term. Long term, we'd also like to just keep, keep close to the trends in like voice recognition and, you know, smarter recommendations, and use that to better engage people.
The Internet of Things is happening now in Wells World, so it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Very good. I think, that's probably all the time we have, Dan, but I wanted to thank you for taking the time to do this, and kudos on the work you've done so far. I'm excited to see where this goes. I think there is definitely ministry applications, and we'll be looking forward to how that might be rolled out and different use cases for congregations and organizations. So thanks for all you do, and keep us updated.
Yeah, we'll do. I should also add quick that if any of your listeners are interested in piloting this or trying it out in a ministry setting, they should get in touch with us. That's absolutely something we're willing to explore.
Oh, great. And how would they get in touch with you?
So my email is dan@firstlayerhealth.com. I assume you guys have show notes or something you could drop it in there. But just drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you.
Very good.
Good to hear.
Thanks again, Dan, and blessings on that work you're doing.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Our thanks to Dan for taking some time. That's an exciting product, Sally.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, Martin, but I do caregiving from a long distance with my mom, and we actually talk on the phone every night. But being able to get a hold of her on her television and her having just an easy remote to deal with it and stuff, that just could revolutionize our conversations and things. So I really like what they have to offer from the standpoint of being someone working with a caregiver. But then, like you said before the interview, the ministry possibilities are very exciting as well.
Right. Yep. So, shut-in ministries stuff. And elder care and lots of different opportunities there. So thanks again, Dan, for taking the time. And boy, blessings on that work. I think there's some possibilities there.
Yeah, so, and check the show notes if you want to pilot it in your ministry setting. We'll have a link to Dan's email so you can get in touch with him.
I think that'd be great. Mm-hmm. So where do we start with our conversation about our awesome communication apps? You want to start with the basics? Maybe just go to good old-fashioned letters and numbers like text?
Yeah, and I think that's even more preferred than voice calls in many circumstances. I kind of laughed because
I use it more.
We didn't even list using the smartphone as a phone being a communication device, but you certainly can dial real phone numbers using your smartphone, and that's just with the built-in phone capabilities of the smartphone. So going beyond that, probably texting is the communication tool of choice for most of our listeners, I would guess. And it's quick and easy. It's not as obtrusive as having to talk to someone. And you can add a lot of things into it, like little emojis and animated GIFs and camera pictures if you do the voice side of it or whatever. So lots of capabilities with text. My family uses Facebook Messenger, and we have conversations that are probably 3 or 4 years old now that have been going on in Facebook Messenger with a group of us, my sisters, my mom, and I, some of my nieces and things like that. So that's kind of our tool of choice. And, I really don't have to know anyone's phone number or email address or anything. If I'm Facebook friends with them, I can communicate with them via text using Facebook Messenger. So that's pretty powerful. Yeah.
And that's one of those crossover apps that it just doesn't do text either. Obviously, you can send media, but it also can act as a VoIP agent so that you can do audio calls and now video calls. You can send money. I mean, it's kind of a be-all, end-all communications channel. We, too, in our family use Facebook Messenger. It's not the number one tool. Most of my family members use iPhones, so we use iMessage, and it has a lot of the same things that that Facebook Messenger has. But my youngest daughter went out and bought an Android phone, and her husband as well.
Geek ads.
Wow. So when we communicate with them, then Facebook Messenger is the tool we use. That asynchronous nature, I think, is one of the appeals where, like you said, when you're making a phone call, it demands somebody's attention. They have to be available. They have to be in a place where they can take the call. They want to, it's on your terms. Texting and using tools like Facebook Messenger, iMessage are on terms that you set. So the message can be sent, and then you can respond when you can. So, for instance, I was getting a lot of birthday wishes today, but I was in the middle of conferences all day, so I couldn't take a phone call, but I could receive those and respond to those, or respond to them when I had a chance to divert my attention. So, I think there is a benefit to that, and another benefit that you mentioned is the ability to kind of capture those threads. You can kind of go back over time, and you have the ability to see the threads and to pick up things that were communicated over those channels. And that's one of the appeals of our next category, which is email, right? Same asynchronous approach, still kind of the tool of choice, maybe the tool of choice for businesses in particular. Mm-hmm. I know you and I probably spend a lot of time in email still today, and it's the tool along with our project management tools. But two of the top ones that I would put on my list in the front center on my smartphone are Inbox by Gmail or Google. So that's for my personal emails, and then Outlook, which has a very nice app both on the iPhone and on Android phones. To grab that that Microsoft mail. So those are really cool tools. They both offer some nice conveniences like scheduling. So if you're reading an email and you say, well, I can't deal with this now, show this to me in a week or tonight or whenever, you can do that kind of thing. You can flag it, you can tag it. And again, you've got the ability to store it, and tools that we really couldn't do business without.
Yeah, I often use email, Martin, to communicate with myself. That may sound really odd, but I have a lot of different accounts, or maybe I have a photo on my phone that I just want to quick get to my computer, and so I'll email it to myself. I know there's a lot of ways you could do that, but many times I just make use of email and communicate with myself. Maybe I just want to be able to file it in the right folder, and so I'll email it to myself or whatever. I just use the Apple Mail account that comes built in. And I did want to mention one Android app, K9 Mail, is what Kevin uses, and he really likes it and the way it organizes things as well. But probably the most powerful thing about email on my phone, the way I work my email, is I have an Outlook account for work, a Gmail account for personal. I have multiple Gmail accounts for different things that I'm involved in. And I pull them all into one view in my Apple Mail on my phone. And so if I'm sitting down at my computer, I like to be more focused on work or personal or whatever. I kind of segment those things between the computers that I use. But on my phone, I like to be able to just keep up with everything in one place. And this is really the only place I can do that, where I get this one-stop view of all my emails from all my different accounts. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty powerful for me.
Outlook on the iPhone, I think on the Android side as well, does have a unified inbox feature as well. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Although I don't use it in that way. I like some of the features that Inbox by Gmail provides for personal email. One caveat, and we should probably extend this to the text messaging conversation too, and that's about privacy and security, that those instruments, those Facebook Messenger and our email clients, shouldn't be totally trusted if you have very private things. So those should that data shouldn't go through those apps. Now, there are apps that do end-to-end encryption and are totally and advertise themselves as secure. But you just want to be careful what tools you use and what you communicate over them. So credit card numbers, social security numbers, those kinds of things you'll want to be careful with, obviously. So, Sally, what's our next category?
Well, it's what we're doing right here on our computers. It's video conferencing. And so when we record WellsTech, we typically sit down at our laptop computers to do it, but you can do the same thing on your smartphone. You can do a Google Hangout or use Skype or other tools. Messenger has the ability for video conferencing. So instead of the traditional phone call, you can see each other while you're talking. Now, I'm guessing the number one use of that in the Spriggs household is to see grandchildren on the other end of the camera. Am I right about that?
That happens on a very regular basis.
Yeah.
Video conferencing has really changed, I think, the way families can communicate and stay in touch.
Mm-hmm.
Grandparents, great-grandparents. I mean, it's a technology that the barrier to entry has come way down. It used to be a little bit onerous. Now it's a big button someplace that you press, and the webcams are built into a lot of computers, so there's not a lot of complicated setup. And I think there's a lot of ministry opportunities for that as well. You mentioned Skype, which is kind of the business tool of choice, but there's a commercial Skype that works really well. Another tool that I wanted to mention here, I just used it the other day, is called Zoom. A number of our people in ministry settings use that. I just had a conversation with our friend Mike Hartman, missionary Mike Hartman down in Mexico. He uses Zoom to communicate for his classes that he teaches and other ministry partners, and we just had a Zoom session the other day. Very solid technology, video conferencing, audio conferencing, chat, the same things that that Google Hangout provides. So, and I know there's a couple of other areas of ministry that are in Wells that use Zoom as well. So lots of options there.
Yep. Next best thing to be in there. You can do the video conference thing. So
yep.
I know just quick ministry mention, Pastor Rob Gunther, who's serving currently in Kenai, Alaska, has talked about having circuit meetings and things like that using video conferencing because they're very spread out and not able to get together in the same location always. So definitely some ministry applications for it as well.
Yep. There are some other tools, and I'm not sure what to call this category, but I'll call them kind of background apps or location apps that you can turn on or use with your smart devices, because your smart devices know where you are, and you can passively communicate things to people who care. So on an iPhone, you have Find My Friends, for instance. So you have the ability to turn that on. And for instance, my wife and I have that turned on for each other so that we can open up the app and figure out where they are. Are they on their way home from work or store or whatever. You can turn that on forever, or you can turn it on for periods of time. So over vacation about 3 weeks ago, we were down in Florida with my daughter and son-in-law and their kids, and we were at Disney, and we turned it on our phones just for the day so that if we got disconnected or separated, we could use the app and figure out where each other was. And very kind of cool technology, just kind of happens in the background. Another one that's a little bit more active over against passive is a tool we've mentioned before called Glimpse, where you can turn that on your phone, and that allows somebody to take a peek into where you happen to be driving from. So if I'm coming back from, let's say, New Ulm, I can turn that on, send my wife a glimpse, and she gets a text message, can click on a link, and she sees my location on a map, similar to what Find My Friends does.
Very good. Yeah, I'm thinking that when we're full-time RVing, we'll have something that'll allow our kids to know where we are in case anything happens or whatever. So I'm glad you brought those up, because we haven't been using that kind of thing. Communication incommunicado. Crazy, huh?
Right.
I added one more category to our list, Martin, and that was using social media tools for private group communication. We already talked about Messenger, which is a Facebook app, but you can actually just use a Facebook private group and have the Facebook app on your phone and access that. Another one that we use in our family is Slack. My boys are very anti-Facebook, will not have a Facebook account for anything, but they'll have a Slack account. It's private, just our family. And, you know, nobody knows that they're on Slack and can get in touch with them there or anything like that, except our small family group. And same kind of thing, running conversation. You can share pictures and files and all that kind of stuff on Slack. So that's how we're using it.
Yeah. And if you are anti-Facebook or just really concerned about it, you can really ratchet your Facebook account down to just a very small, you know, subset. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that you would see would be, you know, your friends and that can be a tight group as well. So mm-hmm. Twitter is another place where you can do direct messages or private messages. Most of these communications devices or tools have ways to kind of make that a very narrow private conversation. Mm-hmm. Good. So I think all of these, Sally, I think the message here is there's a lot of different options, and I think it's a personal preference, but in almost every case, I think there's ministry application for all of these tools. So our smartphones can be those ministry devices in our hands, and you know, kind of think about it in that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Great conversation, and almost to the end of an April month of awesome apps. We have more awesome apps to talk about next week. Teacher or professor Rachel Feld will be joining us to talk about awesome apps for the classroom. So yeah, tune in next week for the wrap-up of awesome apps.
I'm excited to hear that. Yep. That's a lot of news in tech.
And this news actually happened late last week in that Google has officially shut down their goo.gl URL shortener. So they've been in this game for quite some time where you could go there, put in a long URL, and they would give you a goo.gl/ and a short URL. And one of the nice things that they packaged with that was the ability to generate a QR code. So you could have a QR code that was attached to that URL. They gave you some stats on how many people had used it, that kind of thing. And they're getting out of that business. As of April 13th, they've shuttered that. You can't create new ones. The ones that exist still work. And that, I think, too, is for a shorter period of time, another year. And then after March 30th of 2019, those links won't work either. But for now, the leaks still work. And they just were really recommending that you transition to Bitly or Owly, OW.ly, both as commercial URL shorteners that are out there. You can get Bitly, I know, for free and shorten them with those. They're switching to something called Firebase Dynamic Links. And these are links that'll work. They call them smart URLs. And you can send people to locations within iOS, Android, or web apps. So not just to a particular page, but a particular location even within an app. So more to come, I think, from Firebase Dynamic Links, which is now apparently part of Google and where they're going to put their time and energy.
Yep, Firebase happens to be at this conference. So
is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
How about that?
All right, let's move to our picks of the week. Sally, this one sounds very apropos.
It does. It's something that's that helped me find my new car. It's cargurus.com, G-U-R-U-S.com. And we have known for a while that we were going to buy a car to tow behind our RV as we make our final preparations to go full-time RVing. And there's only a certain number of cars that you can tow with what they call four on the floor, with all four wheels down. So we're not going to use a tow dolly. We're not going to use a trailer. We're just going to tow it flat on the ground. And of course, it has to be manual transmission. And then you're kind of limited to the ones that are towable. And many of them are SUV models. And that wasn't really the direction we wanted to go. So we were just kind of scouring online to see what cars were available. I don't know if others shop for cars this way, but it's really nice if you know what types of cars you're looking for to look in more metro areas and just see what's available out there that fits your checklist and things. And I had always used cars.com for that, and I have been looking at cars.com, but Kevin came up with a new app called Car Gurus, and they have a website as well, cargurus.com. And we like them because they actually give you a comparison to what a fair market value price is, and they'll show you the actual dollars. This is $103 over fair market price, and they give it a ranking, like some of them are great deals and good deals and fair deals and not so good deals and things like that. But you can actually see, like, so as you walk into the dealership, you know that this car was priced $89 over fair market price. So they're kind of pretty close to fair market price. Maybe they would have a little room to negotiate, but they're not, you know, that much off or whatever. And I just didn't get that as clearly from cars.com as I got it from Car Gurus, where they were actually providing that information as I was doing my searching. So it helped us find our car. That's exactly how we found it. And we went and test drove it and made the decision to go ahead and purchase it. And we are now proud Hyundai something owners, but I don't know the name of it.
You got time. You need how to say it. You just need to how to use a stick.
Well, that's the thing. And it's been a long time since I've driven a stick, but I'm going to figure it all out. You can trust me. Car Gurus led me in the right direction.
It's fun. Driving a stick is fun. Except in San Francisco and hilly areas.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. My pick of the week is something that I really appreciated at this conference, and I'll start, and I'll include a link to this article in the show notes as well, but we've talked about it in the past. There was an article that came out late last year talking about specifically a study of college students, how they learn better or take notes better if they don't use a computer. But if they use a pen and paper, and you know, this article makes a pretty compelling case for students to maybe consider doing that. I don't know, you know, if it you know, applies across the board, but one of the contentions they make is that if you are typing your notes, then you tend to be transcribing, and you're not actively thinking or learning. So you're not synthesizing and processing the information, and then you aren't getting as much out of the lecture or whatever. Now I wasn't ready to go that far, but I did decide to start, you know, and this has been coming a little bit, so I just didn't start on this for this conference, but sorry, well, I'm going to take notes on my iPad, handwritten notes. So it's easy to do that either with an Apple Pencil or a stylus or some sort, but you do need a good app. And we've talked about this app in the past, and it's probably been a pick of, I don't know if I've ever picked it, but maybe you have.
I think I have, yep.
But Notability is my pick this week because that's the tool that I use to take these notes. And I really enjoyed the experience. You know, the iPad is a great tool for that, and the app makes all the difference in the world as well. Notability is nice because it's super easy to use. The interface is very simple. You have the ability to use a pen, and you can do different kinds of colored ink and different widths of the pen nib. You can erase, obviously. You can highlight. You can cut and move. You can simply set it to type your notes in, and you can insert images. Mm-hmm. All those together really make it a really flexible tool. And so I was scribbling away for the last few days and just found it to be really rock solid. And you can zoom in and out. You can use different colors for highlighting and such. And just kind of the blend of all those media types makes it super powerful. So you can take a picture of, you know, whiteboard or the screen or whatever and include that and annotate that. Just all kinds of ways that you can use this. Another tool which I didn't use on, you know, this particular application, but it has the ability to record what's going on. And when you play it back, it will synchronize or replay your note-taking. So as it's recording, it will kind of give you a replay of the thing that you wrote at the time that that particular audio clip was going on, which is really handy for lectures and those kinds of things where you can, if you don't understand what you wrote or why you wrote it, you can replay the audio and kind of get the backstory of what you were thinking or what you were hearing while you took the particular note. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the organization tools are great, but also the ability to export these as mostly PDFs. You can export them as RTFs or PDFs or images, but I found that I really didn't want to keep them in the Notability app because that's not where I keep all my notes. I use OneNote, and it's very easy to do an export of a note in PDF format right into OneNote. So you can organize them there and have them synchronized. And just to really found little to disagree with how they laid their application out. And you can have lined paper, graph paper, plain paper, different colored paper, all kinds of configurations. So that is Notability. It is not a free app, and it is only on iOS that I'm aware of. And I think it's $4.99. I have to check again. And there is a Mac version, although I'm not sure that it has the appeal if it's on a computer. But certainly on a device, it's worth the price of admission. So that is my pick of the week.
Yay for Notability. It's been a while since I've used it consistently. And, of course, I'm not on I'm on an old iPad by today's standards. I probably got it in about 2008 or so. So it's definitely showing its age. but when I used it on my iPad, I would use the zoom feature. There's an option to zoom in right on a line. And so you're writing at a finer detail because you're zoomed in and stuff. And so you could, on mine, if I just wrote normal, it was really pretty large and sloppy in comparison to the size of the page. But when I zoomed, I take notes during sermons. That's just my MO. Every time I sit in a sermon, I have a note taking device with me and I take notes. And back in the day when I had sons off at college and different circumstances where they couldn't always get to church and stuff, I would finish the sermon and literally maybe during church even press the email button and send the sermon right off to them from my Notability. So yeah, that I definitely recommend it as a note-taking device as well. So good pick. Yeah.
Just the mix of media is really powerful. Mm-hmm. As you can get basically everything you need to get in there. So.
Yeah, I'm sure when you take notes, Martin, it's more like those videos we watch on YouTube where you're drawing and it's all mapped out in this beautiful format.
I'm not an artist, and my scrawl is only decipherable by me and sometimes not even me.
So okay.
It's truly a mix, you know, of cursive and print, and you know, I've got my own style, but it's mine, and it works for me. So.
It works. Awesome.
All right. Let's move on to our ministry resource for the week, Sally.
Yeah, and this ministry resource is in the format of paper. It's actually a paper magazine, brand new from our friends at Faith Life, and it's called Ministry Team. And we got one in the mail. I'm not exactly sure how to subscribe to it, but I'll look up a link, and we'll have something in the show notes to represent Ministry Tech Magazine, Team Magazine. I was really impressed with the magazine. It's, obviously we want to be careful of theology points, but there's a lot in here about communication and working with volunteers and things like that that's more common to all different types of ministry settings, not really focusing on the theology behind it. It's very visual, so lots of charts and graphs and imagery, and not real heavy in text or anything. The articles are pretty short and easily consumable, and maybe good discussion material for your entire staff, you know, where everybody could look together with an article. This one's called How to Sustain Your Team. Good help doesn't have to be hard to find. Know your volunteers, equip your volunteers, appreciate your volunteers, inspire your volunteers. And, you know, a quick read and something that might give you some new ideas and things. One thing I thought that was really cool was as I was looking at this particular article, it says, make a good first impression. And it has a little graphic and ways that you can welcome visitors to your congregation, ideas like, a free drink or snack, a keychain with a Bible verse on it, or a candy bar in a custom wrapper or whatever. Just some fun ideas. And I noticed the byline on it says Lauren Hunter. And Martin, you and I are friends with Lauren Hunter. She was actually someone we interviewed on Wells Tech a few years ago. She's the brains behind churchtechtoday.com. And as I look closer at the magazine, I realize she's a contributing editor. And so they went for somebody really good who has a lot of church and technology insight to work with them on this magazine, it seems. So shout out to Lauren Hunter and to a nice new magazine.
Sort of talked about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Faith Life, same folks who do Lugus, who do Proclaim.
Yep, we just recently interviewed someone from there. So I thought it was well done.
Very good. Thanks for sharing that. Do we have any community feedback? I know we do because I put something in here that I felt like sharing. Happen to have that up on screen or do I need to
put it up? I do have it up, Martin.
Awesome.
Trello.
Yeah, I found this interesting. We often talk about Trello as the tool we use in the Synod office for project management purposes, but there was a nice article that came out that I was reading the other day, The Ultimate Guide for Using Trello at Home. There are all kinds of applications for that, all the way from, you know, setting up a vacation or planning a party or just a bunch of ideas that you can use for Trello using this great project management tool for at-home projects. So I just wanted to share that little article for those of you that use Trello or are in need perhaps of a tool that can help you organize your life.
Yeah, and it is a free tool. So if you want to get your family involved, like I finally got my family onto Slack, you could get your family and set up a household chores board and divvy up those weekly chores and let them move it over to complete it. It's fun to assign people. You put their little face on the card and they know what they have to do for that week or whatever. So great idea.
Great app that works on all our devices as well.
That's very true. It'll send you notifications and everything.
All right. Sally, do you have a video of the week?
Yes. You know, since our conversation has been about communication, I was thinking that we do a lot of communication with our voice, and it just reminded me of a great example of that from one of my favorite Star Trek movies. So this is a throwback or a shout out to Star Trek fans, and it's the scene where Scotty and Dr. McCoy are down on Earth in, I don't know what year, maybe 1986 or something like that, and they want to work on someone's computer, and he tries to talk to the computer. Computer. So, yeah, you haven't seen that scene in a while, but I bet, Martin, it's time for you to replay that memory and know that they were predicting our future with talking to your computer.
Yeah, I think that was in the 80s. Interestingly enough, the theme for this conference that I'm at is the 80s. So there's all kinds of fun stuff. In fact, one of the giveaways, you know, these conferences have giveaways, is something that anybody who lived through the 80s will remember.
Oh, a fanny pack.
Fanny pack, right?
Woot.
Retro all the way.
Yeah. So. They know the age group of the people that are attending this conference, huh? That's great. Absolutely. A lot of fun.
They kind of fashioned the whole conference after this movie that's out called Ready Player One. If you've seen it, it's been out for
I haven't yet. I heard it was good.
It's a Steven Spielberg movie. Yeah, we saw it the other night. And it is very good, but it's all about 80s trivia, so flashbacks to 80s. Video games, and Kevin would probably
struck
me as maybe somebody who was into 80s video games.
He would
love that movie. So.
My favorite
not
one was
overly
Centipede.
not overly faithful to the book, but the movie was good anyway. So.
Okay. Did you have a favorite 80s video game, or that
was
wasn't
a
you?
Video. Well, I was not a child of the 80s, actually.
Okay.
Was more a child of the 70s, but in college, that's when a lot of these things were coming out, like Donkey Kong and those kinds of things. So, yeah, I spent a few quarters at Donkey Kong and at the bowling alley in college.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. All right, very good. Enough about the past. The future I'm looking forward to, and that's awesome. Apps for Next Week, as you mentioned, Rachel Feld will be joining us for apps for teachers and students. So if you haven't made plans to do that, make sure you do for 5:46, is that where we're at? For next week, I'll be back in the good old Midwest. Hopefully the snow will subside a little bit. I can land that plane and get back home. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, putting up with our late delivery this week. Hopefully it was worth it, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.